This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt. Who happen to be homies, just joining on the junkies. Yeah, it's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ah ha ha ha.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving and welcome to Bit Season. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
This is episode 60. We are doing it on Wednesday, November 23rd.
Yeah, we're giving you content for your long ride to your in-laws or your parents' house.
Hopefully it's not too long of a ride because this will be a condensed episode, mostly because I just made a gigantic
F-up. Yeah, what was going production on? All of a sudden I saw you basically flogging yourself. Because you're punishing your mistake.
I basically overwrote some very important audio on the radio station with another file.
You know, were you working?
That's lost forever.
Oh. Is it a commercial?
No, rejoiners. Oh. Rejoiners. I overwrote some B. Mitch and Finley rejoiners, which are what you hear the sweepers when we come back from commercial break that say, now back to B. Mitch and Finley on 106.7 The Fan.
You lost them forever.
Everything has a file number. Everything has a file number that's in accordance with it.
Yes.
And I use that same file number with another audio file.
Yes.
And boom! Now
it's gone forever.
Now it's gone forever. And in its place, coming back from commercial break, is a 20-minute segment of B. Mitch and Finley that's supposed to be used for their Thanksgiving best of.
Did you get reprimanded?
No, CK was cool about it, but we got some work to do. So I'm just an idiot. That just a massive dumb mistake that I know better. And
you know what you did is you probably put it in as IM something, and it should have been PG something.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly.
I know. All right. All right. Everyone, feel bad for Drab this Thanksgiving.
I'm fine. It'll be fine. And
we'll see if he's terminated or not on Monday.
I would hope that I wouldn't get terminated for that. It was during Kevin's boring segment today that I stepped out of the studio and was uploading some audio.
Hey, what was with the guys not realizing that Thanksgiving is a huge movie day?
Well, that's JP. JP like has something in his head and he's being stubborn about it. Like, oh, I never knew Thanksgiving was that big of a holiday for movies.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, massive.
Every James Bond movie came out on Thanksgiving.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
I should know that since I consider myself the James Bond expert.
I remember going to numerous James Bond films on Thanksgiving. Maybe they didn't come out on Thanksgiving, but right around that,
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that week or whatever it was.
It's, I'd say Christmas has almost surpassed July 4th weekend.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I think Christmas is like the number one seed.
Nobody goes to the movies on July 4th. I don't feel like it.
Because that
night you're out doing stuff or whatever. Christmas Day, Thanksgiving Day, you got hours to kill all day long to screw around and everything else is closed.
I will say that it's kind of a Johnny come lately movie day. Thanksgiving.
What? I don't know. I was 10 years old going to James Bond films.
I was never a big Thanksgiving Day movie. It was always Black Friday. That was always what you did. It was football, right? Black Friday and stuffing your face. That was all. That's all Thanksgiving's known for. And then I feel like movies is like the last decade phenomenon.
Well, nobody's going to the movies anymore. So
that's true too.
It's all this fad of whatever you want to call it, recent or old, it's going to die because nobody's going to movie theaters anymore. The only movies that people see are gigantic blockbusters. Even then, do you know anybody that saw Black Adam?
I do not.
Or what else came out in the last few weeks?
That's the only thing. The menu. All because I'm psyched to see the menu. Yeah.
Anyways, I made a gigantic mistake. It's fine. I'll get over it. Right. But we got a fun week here. Even though it was just a couple of days, a lot of stuff that's happening on the Junkies. And I think the big thing that we should jump into is they're going to be around for 4 more years.
Oh yeah, that's that kind of just happened on like a Friday news dump, if I almost feel like, right?
Well, I didn't
know. How do you news dump your new contract?
Well, I don't know why they announced it on Twitter. They should have just announced it on air or waited till Monday to do it. It's not like there's any rush to let people know that you re-signed a contract. And maybe there wasn't any real doubt that they weren't going to sign a contract or they were going anywhere. I think you guys know by now that if it's been 26, 27 years, whatever we're on to now, they're just going to keep the train rolling.
I kind of have a beef with it though.
What's that?
I have a beef with the congratulations that we were getting.
Okay,
is that what weird? Do you
mean? No, all right, tell me.
Well, I mean, I guess there's some sort of job security when the Junks sign a new contract because they seem like they like us and they want us to be their producers. But just because they sign a contract, it doesn't mean we get to reap all the benefits from it.
Well, we could be reassigned tomorrow to shows on 980 or whatever.
We could be fired. Tomorrow.
Yeah, we don't. I mean, I have a contract, but it's a little bit different. But we're not on the Junkies contract of special A, money, B, length, and vacation days.
I'm just saying that they their contract's well earned, but we don't necessarily get the security of that contract. We don't really, you know,
think about it this way.
Other than that, the guys like us, and I think they want us to be their producers.
The Junkies are the franchise quarterback, and we are.
What are we?
We're
the blocking tight ends.
No. We're not on the team. We are we are Ashburn Park employees.
Yes.
You know, yeah. Like we work in the promotions department or some marketing department. All right?
We're selling sweet tickets.
We're not the same. So it's good that the Junkies are going to be around, and I think they're excited about it. I don't think they ever thought about going anywhere, and everybody's happy. So the station's happy. The Junks are happy. We're going to keep running it back, and as long as the Junks will have us, we'll be here and having fun with the guys. So
you know, I honestly think the guys should have they should have signed their contracts and then stage it until Jason got back. And I think it's just kind of weird that he's missing out of all of it.
Well, that was EB's thing where he was like, let's just take a photo. And then I asked him, like, why not just wait till you're on the air? Everybody's here. Or yeah.
You know what? I would have jazzed it up a little bit. I would have wore my two rings as I was signing the contract.
What rings? The rings that they don't want?
Their World Series rings and their
That was another
Stanley
thing
Cup this, ring.
The Junkies' disrespect of their rings.
If it irritates us, it
has to irritate the listeners out there. Just please, somebody, I want the learners and Ted to please take the rings back. The Junkies, you were right. The listeners were right, or the people that hate them were right.
The guys did not deserve.
They did not deserve them. They don't even care about them. They're very valuable. The only thing they want to do
is sell them, but do it in private.
Do it privately. And I'm guessing Jason has already sold his. Not that I know, but
we don't have any inside skinny. But if you had to guess,
to be gifted with these diamond rings, not quite the same quality as that the players are getting.
I'd say it's just a notch down.
It's think of it like I don't know, an executive ring or something like that. I mean, very nice rings.
Yeah.
That they are very fortunate to be a part of that group, and they act like it's a burden on them, that they can't sell it.
You know what? They act like they are Lord of the Rings.
Except for cakes. I'm actually taking cakes out of there.
They are Frodo Baggins, and that ring is their burden.
All right. I guess I'll take cakes out of it because I think cakes has his on display somewhere. He says he sees his all the time.
And he's already talking about like passing it down to his kids.
I am removing cakes from my criticism.
Yeah, cakes is removed.
But JP and Jason for sure are acting like they're burdens that they just can't wait to get rid of.
And then Eric's kind of like a Johnny come lately to it, because he was never, right? He was never contemplating selling off his ring until this week, I feel like.
Yeah. It didn't make a lot of sense. They definitely don't need the money. I mean, everybody, I guess, could use an extra.
Everybody
I don't even know how much they would sell for. I don't even know what they're worth. I think I read somewhere that player rings are usually like $30,000. So maybe the junkies rings are worth
half of that, maybe?
No, I doubt that. Maybe like $10,000, but still.
It's still a good chunk of change.
And if you put it up on eBay, who knows what it would get. But
hey, well, you know, if
are they that hard up for cash?
No, I don't think so. I think just somebody may have said something to him about it.
Right. Why was what was the reason that it came up this week?
I don't know. But
I don't remember.
But Eric brought it up. He brought it up on Monday or Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
He brought it up early this week. And even today on today's show, Eric said something about how he's always miserable when it comes to his teams. And then JP goes, "You have two rings." Obviously he's not even thinking about them. So, but hey, speaking of money, I wanted to I wanted to talk about an idea that kind of came on air organically, and we thought about it with all of this Skippy talk that's been going on about his survivor pool, and I think a junkies show related survivor pool is an amazing idea. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, well, I mean, I helped come up with it. Yeah, so of course. Of course, I think it's a great idea.
I know, but don't you think getting MGM involved?
Well, I don't know the legality behind it, because the radio station, we are not a casino. We can't take money from people. Are survivor pools even legal in places that are outside of Vegas or however it works? Or you have to be an operator or have a license to do this kind of thing? Probably. But maybe there's some sort of workaround. I know people do office pools all the time for college basketball and March Madness. I don't really know what the difference is.
But I feel like with this kind of, and with this high stakes of an entry and with the amount of people coming in, don't you think a governing body like MGM would definitely
could be
oversee it?
And help MGM it. Or whoever else locally wants to be involved. But I think it's a great idea, because we already have 1,000 people almost participate in the JPO. So we know that we have at least 1,000 degenerates who listen. Yeah. And these are just people who play poker.
Yeah, and these people show up day of, and it's an on-site thing. So logistically, they got to take off work, and they got to be there for
it. And what's the reason they all play? For the big fat payout, right?
Big fat payout.
I'm telling you, this is just my EB. I said we could get 2,000 people, but I was lowballing.
I actually think that was lowballing it too. I think you could get close to 5,000.
I think so too. I mean, and then we did the math. JPS did terrible math, but the math was $600,000 winner take all if 2,000 people played in it for $300 a piece. You know, telling me that if we had a diehard local listener, you know, with 600,000 on the line, I mean, that it would be a massive for our show.
And just thinking beyond that, you know how we do our JPO and we kind of revolve it around opening night with football?
Yeah.
Well, just imagine if we had like a survivor pool that was revolved around that too. And then we're spending this time at the casino, at MGM, promoting it at the sports book. And then in our own in our own rules, like, you have to pick one side of that opening game, too. You know how Skippy's pool, he has to take one team?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So just think about it. For that week or for that opening night game, you have to take one side for that game in the Survivor pool.
That would be bananas. That would eliminate a lot of people from the get-go. But even think about how they do it at the end of the season when they invite all the winners. DFS winners, they invite them all to Vegas, right?
Yeah. And so you get to sweat the one last game.
Yeah, so then we invite the final few people to the MGM Sportsbook. We have a big party.
Yeah, we got a big party. You rope off like a table to watch the game and everything.
And the whole station's there. Yeah. And then you have like in Squid Game, you have a big glass bowl full of money dangling over your head.
Can we ask them if we request bills to be dropped on the winner?
Of course. Hey, we're big thinkers, Valdez.
I know we are.
And Philly has the wing bowl. Yeah, let's get the JFK Survivor pool. All right? And we got to figure out a way where maybe more people are involved on the final weekend. I don't know how exactly it's going to work, because that's tough to plan out when it's going to exactly happen.
Yes. And just for the record, and I know CK's listening to this, we want some sort of email credit when it's a big hit.
I mentioned it to CK yesterday.
Oh yeah.
He said probably not. But I don't think he hasn't really thought about it. He just said, I think we should, you know, probably stay away from gambling, running a gambling ring. But we'd look into the legality of it. If we're able to do it, I'm telling you, it could be one of the biggest Survivor pools in the country.
I know.
With the branding of the junkies.
Yes.
The station behind it promoting it. We promote it all summer.
Yes. And also the backing of the casino. And it's run smoothly because they've run a million of these things before, or at least they have the template of how to run it.
And then it closes, the pool closes at the beginning of the JPO.
Yeah.
And they say, shuffle up and deal.
Yeah.
All right.
The pick is in.
All right. Well, then you've had to have signed up for the season or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we typically do that on the first day of the NFL.
I think it's a hit.
I love it because then it's content to the show.
Oh yeah,
we're all talking about the six of us.
I know,
and not even the six of us.
Thermostat talk would just be replaced with Survivor pool talk.
I know, but think about it. You'd have all the employees here wanting their ADs, so they would be in all the Denton Days Mars. They'd all save $300 to try to get into it. Also, I would assume we'd be free rolled.
I would like that. I know the junkies would obviously demand that
as now co-creators of this event. I demand that we are free rolled. Okay. Yeah.
There's two things that we demand: a free roll and a email of notification to the company that we did good. I live for a pat on the back emails.
Yeah, the station only cares if they make money off it, and that's the only way this thing will get off the ground. So we have to noodle how the station is going to make money. And that's going to be with the presenting sponsor.
Yes.
So every time the pools talk, it doesn't even have to be MGM. It could be the Potomac Metal Junkie Survivor Pool or whatever.
The MGM Junkie Survivor Pool, brought to you by
Hadid Carpet.
Brought to you by SeatGeek.
Whoever, yeah.
No sleep.
Hey, speaking of that, also, if you have ideas for the Survivor Pool, tweet us, let us know, or send us DM.
Well, we love thinking about that stuff. Hey, also, real quick, I had an idea for the drinking show.
Mm-hmm.
We got to find like a motivational coach.
Why are you doing panty voice for a motivational coach?
I don't know. We need to find a motivational coach.
For what?
All right. To come in and spend 4 hours patting EB's back. All right, and tell him how smart he is. Do you think that's a good idea or not?
You know, what you need to do is we need to find a back patter as a gag gift for EB. So then we have it here in the studio as his Christmas gift. So every time he says, I'd like to pat myself on the back, he takes this little plastic slapper or whatever, and he slaps himself on the back.
All right. I thought about bringing in a real person, but that's fine.
Well, you can bring in a motivational speaker, whatever you would like. All right, here's back to the Survivor Pool. Here's what I want to discuss with you.
Okay,
and I've discussed it with a couple of people with initials as their name around here as well. Okay,
all right.
I think Skippy is lying about the Survivor Pool.
Whoa, that's a bombshell.
I think Skippy is getting a little carried away. And I think he was eliminated a long time ago.
Okay, that's a bombshell accusation.
Okay.
All right. The burden of proof is on you for this.
This is, I'm just, right. I'm,
you're spitball.
I'm spitballing right, with the listeners. Okay. I'm right. spitballing with the listeners. Right.
Hey,
do look, I have look. Proof in a court of law? Would this hold up? No. All right. But I, as I always say, almost weekly on the show, I say a lot of dumb stuff that I don't know their answer to.
All right. Hey, all right. Let me spitball with you. All right, okay. lay out what you got.
Skippy is a, this is going to get back to him, but he's a pathological liar. He's okay. a known liar. He's and the junkies have told stories over the years about his infamous lies, including the big one. And when I say the big one, I mean the big C. Okay? Skippy lied about having cancer 30 years ago right, when they were in college.
Okay, I was going to say this was a long, long time
Doesn't ago. Doesn't matter. If you come up with a lie of that magnitude that at any point in your life,
all right, is there,
you are always a suspect to be a liar.
All right, is there a possibility that he had
first of all,
like a lump somewhere?
Has this been discussed on the junkies?
Yeah, that has been
okay,
discussed.
Okay, I want to make sure that Skippy faked cancer. All right, it's one of the most despicable things a human could do. Murder, sexual assault, faking cancer. Okay.
Hey, I believe his line back then was, "I just want to have a good Christmas."
Remember
that the guy's talking about that.
All right. So if he's capable of coming up with a story of that magnitude, he's certainly capable of this.
All right. I'm sold on that. All right. Give me motive though.
All right, and what do they tell? What do they tell? What does he tell George Costanza?
If you believe it, then it's real.
Right, it's not a lie. If you believe it. Yeah. I think Skippy believes this. I think what happened was Skippy. All of a sudden, I hadn't heard about this till yesterday. He's got a quote partner. All right. Where did this partner come from? I hadn't heard about a partner. We've been talking about this for a couple of weeks. I think this is the partner's team. I think Skippy has very little to do with his team, he didn't put money down for it, or
is he getting any kind of cut from
he
it?
He might
yes
be getting
no?
a cut, but I think his partner's picking the plays, and Skippy's just like doing this whole drama thing of who should I pick? He already knows who his partner's going to pick. All right, it's his partner's team. Skippy might be in for a small percentage or something. I'm telling you, this isn't $6.1 million is not on the line for Scott Torregosa.
All right, the partner deal. I know for a fact that a lot of these pools are they do have groups and partners and people split them all the time, just because they're easy to do, they're easy to split. It's not hard to come up with one team and stuff like that.
I would never split a Survivor pool. Here's why. Fantasy football, fine. There's a billion choices to be made every week. Survivor pool, you have one choice. You can't have a partner who wants to go with the Bills, and then you want to go with the Vikings, and the Bills lose, and you want to kill him.
All right, so hold on.
And he cost you $6 million.
So are you saying this scenario played out? All right, so let's say the partner consulted with Skippy. Skippy wanted to go with a certain team week six of the season. The partner chose another team. They were eliminated, and Skippy's just been playing out the survivor pool as if the decision was his own every single time. Are you saying that's what's going on, or are you saying that Scott just doesn't have any kind of association?
I think Skippy was eliminated. That's my true feeling.
All right, so you're saying
Skippy was eliminated in week three.
All right, you have a specific week.
No, just early on, right? Skippy was eliminated.
So are you?
And then he got Jason into it because he started telling Jason that ago that he's I'm in the survivor pool.
No,
so.
No, all right, I got you. I got you. So Scott is telling Jason that he's taking this team, and he ends up taking a different team, and that could have cost him early on in the season.
Entirely
and now,
possible.
And now Jason's roped up in it
because he thinks he's still alive. All right. Here's
and so now Skippy is basically playing out the survivor pool.
Yeah, but he keeps winning there now.
now he's shooting himself in the foot because he's winning.
Right. Let me know if you see this.
Okay.
Let me know if you see a $5,000 bet on the Lions. A screenshot. I predict you won't. Because Skippy's not putting $5,000 on the line.
Because he's already out. There's no reason to hedge.
He's not hedging anything.
All right,
that's my first prediction.
Right, so
if I see a screen grab of a bet from Skippy.
All right, then what if he says, I just put it in with the bookie at Cleats. I don't have any kind of receipt.
Okay, then you got to. At this point, I need to prove him wrong. Okay, you want the burden of proof?
Yeah. For an allegation like this,
it's a strong allegation, and I'm probably wrong. But
I know I like where this is going.
Okay,
here's where
my antenna first went up. Is that this information is all available on a website? You just Google Circa Survivor Pool. Okay, yeah.
and it is such a well run Survivor Pool, and like it's a legit official thing.
Yesterday I downloaded a PDF file from Circa listing all of their players.
Oh, you got receipts.
Okay. All right. It doesn't have their full names on them or anything.
It has like a username.
But it had a week 11 recap. Yes, it has a username. Okay. And it would say one of them said a big Seahawks fan and who they picked for that week. Right.
So like if you were in that survivor pool, and that'd be like your username.
Right.
And you'd be like a drab T-shirt.
Mm-hmm. So there's like 80. Exactly. So there was like 80 names on the list, or however many people are on the list. But I went specifically to people who picked Ravens last week.
Yes, because he told us he was taking the Ravens.
I could go back and look at week 10, 9, and I know who he picked in the previous weeks. Who did he pick the week before?
It was the.
I don't remember, but I could go back and look, right?
Yes.
So I know who he picked this guy in week 10, the Ravens in week 11, and I'll know who the skip username is for Skippy. Or maybe there's no trail there. I will do the research, okay? Uh-huh. Now that I'm talking this out with you.
All right.
But here's the thing.
Okay.
I looked at all the usernames. All
right.
None of them make any sense to Skippy.
All right.
Okay.
Explain.
If I would think that the username would be something like...
Well, remember his high school nickname was like Rifleman.
Okay. There's no Rifleman. There's no Colorado. Anything to do with Colorado. Anything to do with his nickname, Scott, Torregosa, whatever his last name is, Skip. Nothing. Now, maybe perhaps it's under his partner's name. And that goes to more to my theory that this is his partner's team and he's really got nothing to do with it.
You would think that... the way Scott talks about it, he has eminent domain over the yes. username.
Right. That was when my first thing was like, something's not adding up about this.
Right. Or even if it was 50-50, you would share it with your partner. Like if me and you split a survivor pool, we call it like Valdez Hill.
Right.
Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Or Matt and Matt.
Then I texted Lurch yesterday, and I said, what is Skippy's username? He said, not sure, I'll text him. Did I ever hear back from Lurch? No. Then, last night, I get a text from JP Flame.
Oh, okay.
And he says, JP, I had already been down this path because I discussed it with CK. Then
you're
Then I got a text last night from JP Flame, random. By the way, Skippy didn't want to reveal his username to us. ... I wouldn't be shocked if he is lying. He lied to his friends in college about cancer. Today he revealed he had a partner. Curious why he wouldn't give us his username. My exact line of thinking. JP Flame now on board with Drab. Everybody thinks JP and Drab don't get along. No, we do. We get along great. We're going to be best friends after him and I bust this ring.
Holmes and Watson over there. Right? You two sleuths.
It would
be in a pot.
Wouldn't it be great?
Hey, that would be a show bombshell.
It would be a show bombshell. And it also goes back to
Especially because Eric
is so wrapped up in it.
Is beyond wrapped up in it.
Yeah, I know.
If Eric's mind would be blown if this was a fake Survivor pool.
I know. I want the Bills to win on Thursday.
Hey, now, I'm actually rooting for him to win.
I want to see just how far this lie will go.
Hey, you know what you're like? You're like when you take George to the Hamptons. When he say he's getting ready to go up to his summer home up in the Hamptons.
Yeah,
And he takes Susan's parents in the car, starts driving them up there.
Right.
They say, "Can't wait to see your place." it's a long drive.
Right, that's exactly what's going on here.
Actually rooting for Skippy,
yes,
to win the whole damn thing. Oh my God! Then what's Jason's reaction going to be? So Jason
always gives Skippy a pass. So he'll forgive him and move on.
Yeah, but
I don't think Jason's in on it.
No, I don't think he's in on it either. But I feel like Jason, like Eric said, Jason wants like a little cut for like his help.
Oh, probably, yeah. Jason's going to feel slighted.
So what's going to happen when, you know, he wins $6 million and then he's got to go, Jason, if I really won, I would have hooked you with $25,000.
Maybe it'll tear apart their friendship. You never know. Here's also my theory about it. It adds to it. It's because I think Skippy was making up all those stories on the air about him and his wife and all. Every Friday he had a new story, right? About him with it. He was never wearing his wife's panties around. I mean, come on. He's sitting around thinking of funny stories that he can tell that aren't true. Okay.
Well, he should work for SNL. If he's coming up with these skits and bits.
I don't know. This is just my theory. Noted Skippy hater Drab believes that Skippy's lying about the Circa Survivor pool. Okay. And apparently JP Flame does, and TK as well.
All right. So now that it's out there, you realize that people are going to confront Scott.
I know. Scott already hates me. And so.
So you're just putting it out there?
What harm can be done? I like Skippy the person. I do like Skippy the person from what I know of him. I've never even met Skippy, but
do you think other people have thought the same thing? Like,
listeners? No.
So all of a sudden,
you know how I know? Because I tested this out last night via DM on Blake Giffen and John DePompa.
Oh
yeah. And Rom. Okay. I said it to three P ones. My favorite
three amigos.
Okay. And they all
Their mind was blown.
I think their minds were blown and they were into it. They were. I told Rom, or Blake Giffen told me, and I used it on this line on Rom. I said, Skippy's playing for $6.1 million attention dollars.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Is there any bigger attention dollar sweat than people thinking you got a winning lotto ticket?
Hey, you know what? You know what's going to happen? Next week, Rom's going to call the show and say, hey, guys, I forgot to tell you about this poker tournament I'm in where I made the final table.
Right. Are you starting to buy into my theory a little bit? This could be something there.
Here's the thing is, I want to believe it. I want to believe it. But it seems like it's not unreasonable. Okay, I won't.
Here's why it's also unreasonable. Skippy's the worst handicapper on the planet. He's terrible. He can't pick any game. He's going to be better than the thousands of people that bought into this tournament. Doubtful. The guy picks favorites just like Jason every single week.
I can't believe. I wish I could see Rom's face when you open his eyes to that attention dollar grab. Hey, let me ask you a question. So let's say that it goes down to this road, and Skippy wants to do, and he wins the pool.
All right.
Is this lie just going to keep up or
no? He'll eventually.
How is he going to have to admit it?
Well, because won't Circa like we'll find out like Circa will crown their champion the big check?
Publisher's clearinghouse check.
And it's like some big fat guy from Florida or something.
Yeah, some old dude. Yeah.
That's what I'm rooting for at this point.
Hey, what if Skippy showed up on check day? To just take his picture with the big check and then send it to everybody just to prove you're wrong.
He would do it. I want to see how far Skippy will go with this. He might end up doing something like that.
Hey, you know what would be funny? Mm. Is if we check in on the Circle website and we say, yeah, the announcement, the famous Circa Survivor Pool comes to an end with the top 19 cashing out and chopping the final pot.
Right. All right.
And then Skippy calls in the next week and goes, I don't know who to take this week.
He's not up to date.
He's not up to date. Doesn't realize that it's all chopped and over.
Yeah. That would be that would be a lot of fun.
You're a genius. You know that.
Thank you.
I'm very bored at home if you're
I'm texting Rom and John the Bob of my theories. I am bored at home. Something more constructive I could be doing.
That's funny.
Let's see. This says, this is a good one. Rom said this. I didn't realize this. You should offer him an extremely over market price to buy his ticket to call his bluff. And if he's not bluffing, just fold. Yeah, what happens if I try to say, Skippy, let me buy your ticket for 100 grand right now? What do you...
For 100? I don't know if he'd do it for 100, would he?
You tell me, Skippy, if he was in this pool, wouldn't take $100,000 right now to buy his ticket out?
I don't know.
No, he wouldn't because he's been eliminated.
Yeah. Oh, man.
All right. What
a caper.
Yeah. Are you going to be thinking about that at your Thanksgiving dinner?
I'm going to be dousing my turkey in gravy and thinking about the game.
Who's going to have the best Thanksgiving of the junkies?
Let's see. JP's got that travel.
That sounds miserable.
I hate the travel. I hate traveling on Thanksgiving.
Oh, I got to say this. All the junkies are great family men. Okay? They're all the best dads.
Hey, you know what? I think they all are standing over that turkey, carving it up for their family. Right? With their apron on. It says number one dad.
Number one dads, doting husbands. Yeah. Just great guys to be around. Yeah. Great leaders of men.
Yeah. Cakes' apron says number one dad. EB says number four dad.
That was infuriating. Last week on Bit Season, or two weeks ago,
we got in trouble.
We got in trouble because Valdez went to Twitter and he was tweeting out his feelings and looking for sympathy. And
I know I was hoping more people would be like,
no, there's a lot of people who said don't. Valdez threatened to quit Bit Season on Twitter. He was having like an emotional moment. And looking for sympathy from people.
Well, it was juice not worth squeeze.
So we talked about who was the most country on the show, and then we talked about how we thought Cakes was, right or wrong, because he's the family man. And then JP got angry when it came up on the show and wanted to know why he wasn't. It was like, this was not funny. Like, this was like a awkward couple minutes there where JP wanted to know why he wasn't the number one family man.
JP came in to plead his case to us during the commercial break, and then all I could do was, I said, JP, I'm sorry, I will never bring it up again, ever in my lifetime.
But didn't you hear me on there? As soon as I saw it happening, where JP was getting the face.
Eric was getting the face.
I didn't put any thought into this at all. They're all great dads. We're just literally spitballing a conversation
a funny conversation.
Cakes has the character on the show, right or wrong, true or false, that he's the family guy. Not that they're not all family guys. That Cake spends every waking moment with his wife. His kids can't go a weekend without seeing him. Right.
He's driving to University of Maryland to take his kids to lunch after every show.
He's driving to Atlanta to go to concerts. Most high school kids hate their parents. Cake's kids love them. That's all that was going into thinking about it. But
we're trying to spitball a funny topic.
But JP got offended.
We got scolded for trying to be creative about something.
JP was offended, and because JP wanted to be the number one family dad guy, And then I said, probably wrong on the spot, I pointed out, I was trying to be funny, that Dylan spends all his time in his bedroom.
Yeah, and I tried to do some sort of jerk off zing about that's why he's in his bedroom all day.
Okay. I know JP and Dylan have a great relationship, but they have a lot in common. They hang out all the time.
You know what it was like?
I was just going for that irritated JP.
Speaking of Seinfeld, it was like when they had the world's greatest dad versus number one dad t-shirt. Yeah. That's what was going on.
Should I get a JP a light blue thin t-shirt that says number one dad on it?
I swear, for Secret Santa, if you get JP, you should get him a world's greatest dad t-shirt and have him wear it around.
You one in, one out, JP.
Hey, do you think he would be pissed off if you did that?
I don't know.
Or he would have a sense of humor about it.
Did you say, he has no sense of humor.
I will never say the word family ever.
I know.
Ever in my life.
Here's what I know he's anymore. He doesn't think it's funny because I tested that on Twitter. Because that night, last Friday night, JP, after the argument, I think it was last Friday, right? The argument was last Friday. JP, last Friday night, tweeted out a picture of his family at dinner together. Okay. And I replied to it and I'd said, family man, fist bump emoji. Okay. There were 100 likes on it and JP wasn't one of them.
JP's checks Twitter religiously.
Oh, no.
JP's on Twitter more than Elon Musk.
JP 10 minutes before, 10 minutes after, he's liking tweets everywhere. He did not like my family man tweet. So that's I don't think he's laughing about it.
That's funny.
It was all in good fun. They're all great family. Even Lurch, who wasn't part of the discussion, is a great family man. So
I know I will. All right, this is the last time I'll ever say the word family. Right now, family.
Did anybody let us know if anybody else thought that was weird or just JP getting the face over something? Actually, well, Eric, EB kind of got the
Eric,
face
no,
too.
Eric got the face too.
Yeah,
Eric was pleading his case.
I like that everyone's coming up to us pleading their case off air. Yeah. Well, I think EB did, and then Cakes comes up. Hey, thanks for saying I'm the number one family man. I mean, who cares?
I know. Hey, that was a little awkward. Sorry, guys, but thank you.
Family man.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's basically a curse word. Never again.
Valdez,
never.
You were bragging today off air that you, then we got into an off-air discussion about food because you were bragging that if this was a food World Cup, you would have the number one, you'd be the favorite to take home the whole
thing. It was kind of a throwaway comment, but you were very offended.
I was offended.
Because I was going through since a couple
Who
of my teams,
World
have
Cup
some,
teams
have some upsets. All right, let me bring it up right now. Let me bring it up. Jason sent it to. Did he send it to us? Our work emails.
Yeah, I tweeted about it here. It's in my phone here. You know who your teams are. Who are your teams? Your number one pick was Brazil.
So my teams are Brazil, Denmark, Mexico, Qatar, Japan. And if we're going by cuisine,
okay,
I think my team is the overwhelming favorite over everyone else's. Because I'm already preparing myself to lose the pool.
Okay, first off, Brazil's not any different than any other South American country. There's no separation between Brazil and any other South American country. I'd even maybe put Peru above because of their chicken.
All right. Well, think about this. Doesn't Brazil have silly coffee?
I think everywhere has silly coffee. Mexico has silly coffee.
All right. Well, you ever heard of this phrase before? Brazilian steakhouse.
Yeah, I've never been to one because they don't sound appetizing.
What do you mean?
A big chunk of
meat. They just cut meat off.
All right, so they got steak. What country doesn't have steak?
It's better steak.
Brazil, there's, in my opinion, no separation from anywhere else. They got plantains or something. What else do they eat in Brazil? If you can't tell me what else besides they have steakhouses.
Well, steakhouse is a number one.
All right, but I'll give you Mexico. But even then, Mexico overrated.
Avocados from Mexico.
Mexico.
All right, why is it overrated?
Because all the good Mexican food comes from Texas.
What?
All the good Mexican food is American based.
Explain that to me. So you're saying that if I get an enchilada, that's not Mexican food?
You know what's Mexican food? Like mole. Okay.
Mole is kind of silly, though.
It's fine. At its core, Mexican food is good. Tex-Mex pummels Mexican food. You know where the chimichanga was invented? Arizona.
All right, what about churros?
Churros, American food.
I don't know that.
Nachos, American food.
How do you know that?
I know things.
You think they don't have tortilla in Mexico and they haven't fried they have tortillas before?
I'm sure they have. Okay. Ask Bob, where was the churro invented?
I don't know this.
Spain. Okay. All right. Well, you can't claim that. Who has Spain?
Okay, but I'm just saying that you...
But at its core, real Mexican food, you probably haven't even had. You know, if you're going to Los Teltecos on the weekend, you're not eating real Mexican food.
All right, what about arroz y pollo?
Chicken and rice?
I'm just saying, isn't that a Mexican delicacy?
Okay, if your delicacy is chicken and rice, your food's not that silly.
All right, what about tortilla soup?
No chance that's Mexican. You're just taking Mexican spices and you're making them on your own. But I'll give you Mexico.
Hey, what about
give you Mexico.
Right, what about the flan? Right? Flan, that dessert.
I don't know I don't know. First of all, you don't even have the number one country is probably France. Because French cuisine, if you go through, you talk to real culinary people.
Culinary people.
Yeah.
All right, well then
it's going to be the number one in the world.
I would say Japan gives
Japan
it a run for its money.
Sucks.
What do you mean Japan sucks? Just because you don't like sushi? There's a billion other things to eat. Other than sushi.
All right, fine. I don't think Japan is that silly. China greater than Japan. Pummels Japan. And food.
We're not talking about C-16 beef and broccoli.
Okay, we're not talking about California rolls either. Whatever, which was also invented here.
All right, I've had nigiri before.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, oh yeah. Well, they got a salmon. Wow, way to go. So does every state on the West Coast.
Miso soup.
Okay. Miso soup stinks.
Also, you're not thinking about teas.
What? What
I'm
are
just
teas?
Saying, I'm just saying, like, a drink. I'm just saying, Japanese is known for their tea.
I think Chinese are known for their teas.
Why are you being so dismissive?
Because you were just bragging. Here's why. Because America has the best food in the entire world. American food, and I have the United States team, people sleep on American food.
All right, what's
in
an
this
American
country?
Staple?
Cheeseburger. Deep dish pizza.
Deep dish pizza. Wouldn't that be Italy?
No. They can have Napoleon pizza or whatever it is. But
look, all right. My Brazil, Denmark. By the way, the world's greatest restaurant.
No. We're not doing restaurants.
I'm just saying
we're doing fair.
I'm just saying the world's greatest restaurant is located in Copenhagen, Denmark.
From where? The Copenhagen News put out that study.
No.
Nobody's ever once thought that the Danes have great food.
I didn't think that either.
Then tell me, what's their staple dish?
A Danish.
No, that's you're being stupid. You're being stupid.
Drab gets so pissed off whenever you try to debate food with him.
Well, no, because you just have ridiculous takes sometimes. And as in a proud American, people, you sleep. First of all, New Orleans cuisine is in its own category, some of the best in the world. Nothing else like it. Its own delicacy.
Oh, yeah. Here's a big one. Here's a big Danish cuisine.
Okay.
Rye bread.
Okay. Rye bread, I'd rather eat Bickle's butthole. You know, you don't like rye bread.
You don't like a marble rye.
Okay, let me tell you something. Rye bread, 16 seed.
Are you kidding? Rye bread is silly. What else do you put your pastrami on?
Okay, let me tell you some American staples, Valdez.
All right.
Twinkies, tater tots, beef jerky, fajitas, not Mexican, cornbread, biscuits and gravy. Any of these sound good to you, Valdez? Alaskan salmon, California roll, meatloaf. Oh, how about this one? Macaroni and cheese. Oh, Maryland crab cakes, potato chips, fortune cookies, popcorn, fried chicken and waffles. I haven't even got to the top 15 yet. Buffalo wings. Oh, barbecue. Ever heard of that? BLT, apple pie, po' boys, chocolate chip cookies.
There's no way cookies were invented.
Chocolate chip cookies invented in America. Deep dish pizza. Yeah, but Philly cheesesteak. I'm on the top five now. Or top six. Okay. Nachos, Philly cheesesteak, hot dogs, Reuben. Reuben is an unbelievable American staple. Cheeseburger. And number one, Thanksgiving dinner. Those are all as American as American can be.
Okay. But here, all right. Number one, Drab's offended because he's the biggest nacho guy in the world. All right, number two. There's no staple. You know what I mean? It's just this hodgepodge of.
That's not a hodgepodge.
Yes, it is. That's a hodgepodge. Like when you say American cuisine, nothing comes to mind. When you say
what is a hodgepodge about a Philly cheesesteak?
I'm just saying Philly cheesesteak is completely different than a crab cake. You know, like when you say. Italian cuisine. What's the first thing that you think of?
Pasta.
Exactly. When you say Spanish cuisine, what's the first thing you think of?
Nothing.
Paella.
Okay.
That's
rice and shrimp.
Well, I'm just saying that there's so no...
No. Of course. We're from here. You ask someone from Spain, hey, when you think of American food, what do you think of? They say... ribs. Smoked ribs. Of course they do. Brisket.
They don't say that. Find someone foreign. I need someone foreign right now to call up and say, okay. And say when you think of America, what do you think of?
Also, the cheeseburger was invented in America.
Okay. I'm not arguing. Okay.
Cheeseburger is the greatest food on the planet.
It's not a delicacy.
I don't give a about delicacies. Okay, fine. We're not the most delicate cuisine on the planet. I'll give you that. Even though I think our restaurants on par pommel everywhere else in the world.
There's
great American food cities.
There's actually not one on the top 50.
Well, those are written by non-Americans.
It's funny watching you get upset about food so much.
Well, then you were like bragging. I mean, to brag about who Denmark and Brazil is just, I mean, come on.
No, I just mentioned that they had the number one restaurant. I'm just saying, who carries the weight is Mexico.
The number one restaurant is the French Laundry, and Lurch turned down dinner with that guy. That's the number one restaurant in Napa Valley. Valdez knows how to get under my skin.
I do.
And if
although I will say Reubens are so good.
Yeah, Reubens are so silly.
Did you know the Reuben is named after the guy who invented it?
I mean, that makes sense.
Yes, and it's actually the people say that it's the only sandwich that's named after a person, but that I find that false because there's a Rachel. Do you know what a Rachel is? A Rachel is a Reuben, but with turkey, not pastrami.
Well, who's Rachel?
That's just what they call it's. They just call a Reuben, then they call a Rachel.
But
if
you invent a sandwich, and you name it after something,
I don't know.
Right?
Maybe Rachel invented it.
Well, like you're always eating turkey and pepperoni, okay? So right. Maybe I'm gonna call that the Valdez, and then I've named the sandwich after Valdez. If you put a special sauce on it. Maybe some alfalfa sprouts or something.
If I have like an Old Bay remoulade.
Yeah. Then you're like, all right, that sandwich is the Valdez.
Yeah, I consider myself a sandwich expert.
All right, here we go.
I do. Like, Like, do you even know like what a Monte Cristo is?
You think I don't know what
I don't know? I just
you don't think like, I don't know what a Monte Cristo is.
Do you even know what a croque monsieur is?
I know what a croque monsieur is.
I doubt your sandwich.
It's like Swiss and ham and some sort of fluffy, flaky pastry thing. I know what a croque monsieur is. I know what a Monte Cristo is, deep fried with some like powdered sugar on top.
It's a French toast sandwich, basically.
Okay, well, all right. I'm all over it.
Okay. Drive the man. You get really offended when it's food talk. Drive considers himself the food king.
Everybody considers himself as the food king. Haven't you heard of EB and JP argue 1,000 times about their silly palate?
Sophisticated palate.
Yeah.
Hey, I would actually say that our palates, me and you, are much more sophisticated than Eric and JP's.
I'm going to take myself out of that.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. We're not allowed to do that
anymore. No. I just don't think I have the most sophisticated palate.
Why do you say that?
Because I can live and die with three things.
Nachos.
No. Bread, cheese, butter. That's all I need to be happy. You give me those three things, and I'm blissfully happy for the rest of my life. Those are the top three ingredients or flavors, whatever you want to call it, on the entire earth. And then when you combine them all together for some silly cheesy bread, impossible to be.
Oh, that's funny.
All right.
All this sandwich talk's making me hungry, too.
All right. Remember, I just deleted like tons of audio that I got to go fix, and we've been going to longer than I thought we would go.
Yeah, we definitely were.
And arguing about something stupid,
you know,
like food.
No wonder you're so feisty. I'm in a bad mood.
All right. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah.
Be safe out there. We will see you next week on The Junkies.
Hey, speaking of sandwiches, are you going to get the Bobby? Remember?
What is the Bobby?
We had them bring it in. It was the leftover sandwich where you have a dinner roll with a stuffing spread with turkey and
cranberry.
Who
was that from?
Jersey Mike's.
Oh, no, it wasn't Jersey Mike's.
What's the sandwich shop?
I don't know, but
Pete always raves about.
Yeah, it starts with a C. I forget the name of it, but everybody does that bit now. The Thanksgiving sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I will have my sandwich.
As a sandwich expert, I should know this.
You should. It's Capriati's.
Yes, that's what it is.
All right.
Jennifer's.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you soon. And I'll be back on Monday on The Junkies. Take care.
See
you.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.